Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. What a beautiful day. Spiritually and as the weather. Beloved in Christ, Father Samir, Father Nicholas, and Father Gregory, and the deacons, Anthony and Maxime. You know, this weekend, we came here together to celebrate the 50 years of the history of this church. And yesterday we went through all the history and what has happened in the 50 years. We heard beautiful speeches and beautiful reflections. And we got to know from all what we heard and from the video that nothing has happened in this holy community by accident. Many prayers happened. Many tears, many sweats, many efforts, many misunderstandings, if you like. But above all and after all, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ built this holy community. The prayer and the faith of all of you and your grandfathers and forefathers and fathers and mothers, they built this holy community. And God has tested us with the fire here in 2002. And look what happened now. Everything, you know, like, if we just think, you know, like, how all that has happened, you would believe that the hand of God is with us. The wisdom of God is leading and guiding this holy community. So we came into this moment, the beautiful moment of the history of this holy community. You know, when we talk about history, when we say history, we don't mean, you know, like just a few pages. But we mean heroes, we mean good people, we mean good clergy, we mean the entire community with the prayer built this holy community. Today, beloved in Christ, we heard at St. Luke in the teaching that the faith, strong faith, deep faith, not sentimental faith, but serious one, can do miracles, can move mountains, can heal any situation. And this is a proof. This young lady was dead, and Jesus said, don't cry, you know, she is not dead, but she is sleeping. And they mocked him, they laughed at him, because of their little faith. So when we have a little faith, nothing is going to happen, nothing at all. We get disappointment after disappointment and after disappointment. And I give you an example. You remember during the Holy Week on Wednesday, we have a prayer of the holy oil. We call it the holy unction. You remember that? We read 7 epistles, not 1 or 2 or 3, 7. We read 7 gospel readings, not 1 or 2 or 3, 7. Why seven? Why seven? Why not five, for example? Why not ten? You know, in the church, if you read the gospel, if you read the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, we hear about the third heaven, the seventh heaven, and so forth. So the number of the seven, the number, this number in particular, signifies perfection. Perfection. So when we do this holy unction on Holy Wednesday, we are coming here for perfection, to heal the soul and the body, to heal. And this is very true. And in one of the churches in Southern California, the priest before, like 5-10 minutes before the time of that prayer, the Holy Unction, he took that time, 10 minutes, to explain what this service, you know, like means. And he said, you know, like oil, we use something human, oil and candles and wheat and wine, and you know, like this, what happened to the Good Samaritan, he poured on his wounds oil and wine to heal him. So this is a sign of healing. That is the materialistic, if you like. So this priest stood up to explain what this service means. He said, you know, let us focus on a prayer. We get healing. We get, you know, like any kind of healing of the soul and the body. And let us trust God, and God is going to heal us, because He is the physician of our soul and body. So the service started after reading the seven epistles and the seven gospels. At the very end, when we say, through the prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us, he said, you know, God bless you and God be with you. Come for anointing, you know, when we anoint ourselves with the holy oil. So a woman stood up there crying and shouting and yelling, Father, nothing has happened to me. This is what in her mind is magic, and we don't have magic in the church. The answer is here. Daughter, your faith made you well. Go in peace. In the hospital, beloved in Christ, people die. People heal, but people die at the same time. So in the church the same. If someone, any one of us, you and I, if we don't have a deep faith, a strong faith, we will not heal. You know, touching icons, and without faith, we will not get it. There is no magic in the church. There is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which heals and perfects everyone. So I move from this gospel passage into the beautiful epistle today to help you understand what I am saying. It tells us, brothers or brethren, you know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about the theology of love, according to St. Paul, He says, if you don't have faith, you will be loud. You use this music or that. You do whatever in the church. But that is not gonna save you. Only the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can save you and can make you perfect. So the lesson today here, beloved in Christ, that not to be nominal Christians. Nominal means not to be only in name, Christians in name. Always we have to remember our baptism. We have to remember that you got married here in this holy community. Your marriage is not flesh to flesh, but your marriage is a sacrament. We'll continue that sacrament even after death. Love will never fail, will never fall. So that's why, you know, like every time, very, very rare, because of my traveling, so I cannot be in every wedding, but in every wedding I perform, I say to them at the very end, remember this moment. This moment will lead you to eternity. This moment of marriage is not like to sign papers and yalla imshi. This moment of your marriage is written in heaven at the same time, because it is a sacrament. I tell them without any fear, if you like just us to sign your papers, go to Vegas and go to anywhere else. But when we come into the church, we come to receive the real, the eternal union from God, the one who unites us with Him and with the kingdom of heaven. So that's why in this beautiful epistle, not the iota, not the letter of the law, if you read the gospel, if you memorize the gospel, and you don't understand the message delivered to you and to any one of us, it would be nothing at all. So that's why many people, many groups, many religious groups, many denominations, if you like, now after reading the Bible for many, many years, they are becoming irreligious. They're becoming atheists. Even pastors, if you watch TV carefully, and if you know what to watch on the TV, you will see that some pastors, some preachers, some people used to yell and scream at the corners on the streets, come to Jesus, come and He will save us, and so forth. They became atheists and they rejected the faith after all. You know why? Because there was no spirit there. There was no essence. There was no depth in their faith. And a few weeks ago, if you remember, here in this church on Sunday, we read the gospel of the sower, Al-Muzari'a. He spread the seeds, some of the seeds, you know, like fell on the surface. No moisture, nothing. They die. So those who have no depth, no moisture, no wisdom of Jesus Christ, no seal of their baptism, they will die, and their faith is fake and will die. It's not going to last forever. So at the very end, after he is cautioning us not to follow the law just blindly, not to follow the iota blindly, not to follow the letter blindly, he says at the very end of the epistle, for I through the law died to the law. أنا مت من أجل الحرف من اجل الشريعة, that I might live to God. I have been crucified. We are called. You know, like it's not magic. We have to suffer. We have to endure any kind of hardship. And those who endure to the end, they will be saved. Do you think that our church is coming from a vacuum? Do you think that the church has not suffered enough? Do you think that we haven't gone through persecutions? And through all the persecutions, the church now, 2,000 years, and you know why? Because it is not a human manufactured. It's not a human body, but the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church. So at the very end he says, to prove and to make my faith, you know, real, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not a joke. It's not a magic. Now imagine, every day I am in a different airport. Some people, they mock me at the airport. Can I respond the same way? Can I mock them? Can I despise them? Can I show any disrespect? No, I can't. I can't. From day one, beloved in Christ, I knew that He is calling me to be like Him exactly. He is my master. He is guiding me. He is guiding us. So that's why, you know, like, if they mock us, it's their problem. All what we care, we say, or we smile and be quiet, or God bless you. But you know what? On the other hand, there is something positive. I was sitting at the airport waiting for my flight. A lady came. She works there for some airlines. She said, may I have your ticket? I said, I am, you know, like, already all set and I'm ready to fly, to take off. She said, no, let me see your ticket and I upgrade you to first class. I said, but I don't have the money to pay. She said, no, don't worry, give me the ticket. So I gave her the ticket. 2-3 minutes later, she came back, she upgraded me to first class. That is nice of her. But I didn't understand, you know, why me, not other people. You know what she said? You won't believe it. I had a priest with me, she upgraded him as well. She said to me, because I saw Jesus Christ, the face of Jesus Christ in your faces. We didn't say anything. We didn't preach her. We didn't evangelize her. We didn't even talk to her. We didn't even ask for her name. Many people look at us to see Jesus Christ in our behavior, in our countenance, in our faces. So Jesus Christ is not hidden somewhere. He is in our behavior. He is on our faces. He is in our life. Because He is our master and we are like Him. We are the reflection of Jesus Christ. So the last line, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is the fact. This is the truth. Why do we kiss the hand of the bishop? Why do we kiss the hand of the priest? Why do we venerate, you know, like what we do in the church? Why do we do all that? Because we believe, we have the faith that everything we are doing in the church coming from Jesus Christ Himself. You know, the bishop now, I said it once here in this church, maybe my vestments are beautiful, but that is nothing. That is nothing. The bishop is not the vestments. The bishop is the icon of Jesus Christ. So that's why if you remember this eagle, it is like a church, a city, and the eagle, big bird, you know, on the top, and the bishop stands on that. Do you know what does it mean? That the bishop is above any business or any human action and any human interest, if you like. So every one of us, beloved in Christ, called to be the same, to be the same. In the church, you know, we eat, we socialize, we greet each other, that is fine. But in the church, we live eternity. We live the kingdom of God. We taste the kingdom of God from this moment. Every word we hear in the church, whether with the music or without the music, with a beautiful choir or without a beautiful choir, every word we hear, that is a message for all of us to follow. I pray for you, beloved in Christ, and every time I visit this holy community, it's an honor, it's a privilege, it's a blessing for all of us to be together and praise God and worship Him. So, the one who lives from now on, not me, not you, but Jesus lives in us. Amen.